Wakey coasties, when the sun rises over the best place on earth, these guys are here to wake you up and get you ready for the day. Paddy and Rob Palmer for breakfast on the coast, 107.7 Triple M.
G'day, this is Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Wednesday, the 19th of January. And we told a story today about Prince Andrew and his stuffed toys.
Oh, gee. And wasn't there a kickback? There were so many people on the Central Coast that actually do this.
Prince Andrew is not alone. Is not alone.
He's alone in many respects.
Well, but, yeah. What about that? A bold plan to fast-track people into bar jobs without a responsible service of alcohol certificate is being examined by New South Wales Treasury. And we spoke to Craig Laundy, who's got the beach house, Chidaway Bay, and also the pub at Woi Woi.
Yeah, about what he thought.
Yeah, and he changed your mind, didn't he?
He changed my mind. Palmer's he simply mind. Reassured me that it was not as ludicrous as you made it sound.
Stockpiles of rapid antigen tests are being kept in a secret warehouse in Western Sydney and delivered to schools in a military-like operation. And the RAT rollout, described by one government source as one of the most significant logistical operations, is now underway. They want to test kids when they go back to school. It's got a lot of tests, 3,107 schools across New South Wales.
Yeah, twice a week.
What about this? 296,516 teachers and other school staff, while there are 810,705 students have counted them all. That's what I did last night. That's in the public system, and I counted all the kids in the private and the Catholic schools. There were 431,257 photos. I just went through the class photos and just ticked them and ticked them off. That's a lot.
That makes it pretty normal. If you just do it at roll call twice a week, they have roll call. Yep, stick a stick up your nose and away you go.
But no, you're doing the rapid test. You don't stick that up your nose.
Yeah, the rapid test, yeah, you do.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, I'm thinking of something else.
Okay.
But the thing is, you'll have no one at school. You'll have no one at school. If you're doing it 2 days a week, you'll have bloody no one at school.
And then everyone's getting it. But if you've got a positive and you go home, then you go home, you don't spread it around school.
No, but you imagine, okay, you drop your kid off school. Say, see, I've got to get to Sydney. So you're driving on the M1, you get a call from school. Kid's got COVID. And you go, holy geez, then I've got to try and organise someone to look after the kid for 7 days. But because I can't take 7 days at work, I see a lot of problems with this, buddy.
But then according to the current things, you're not supposed to go home for 7 days because if you're in the household, you've got to isolate as well.
Oh, that's changed a bit.
My kids are filthy because they've been in the house for 6 days with me.
With a grubby
and no
dad.
One's sick.
With a grubby dad is tested positive.
Yeah, what about the little kids, right?
Yeah, like
I went and got Greta tested at one of the PCA or whatever, PCR testing clinics.
So many acronyms, hey.
She was petrified going in there. I said, Dad, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And
that's your phone.
My phone's
working
ring.
From home.
I must be at home. And so she said, I don't want to do it. And then we went in there and I was trying to explain how it'd be okay. And she said, I've got a sore nose, Dad, because she'd been, she had a little cut on the inside of her nose.
Yeah.
And the lady was very gentle and they said, we'll just put a bit up the right side and a bit on the back. She goes, Dad, that was all right. And I did mine. Doing the gag as they stick it down your throat. She goes, Dad, it obviously got you worse than it got me. Yeah. So I think people are very gentle with kids when you go and get tests done.
Yeah.
And they know that kids are – and you got to think about Greta, who is only 7, almost half of her life, she's been told that there's this awful thing called COVID that can kill you in the world. And so that must get into your head as a kid. You've got to imagine what it's like. A day in the life of a 7-year-old is a lot longer than a day in the life of someone who's, 30, 40 plus.
And so, mate, did you have to sit down and explain what was the reason behind getting the vaccination?
Well, because the thing was, we went to get her vaccinated. She said, I'm nervous, Dad. I don't like needles. And I said, look, when you get a vaccine, Greta, you're trying to teach your body how to battle against COVID. And she went, oh, right, okay. She goes, does that mean I'm going to have Miss Codling stuck in my arm in a liquid? Miss Codling's her teacher in year one. So, yeah, Miss Codling is in your arm teaching you how to battle against COVID. And then she sort of took that on board and she kind of got with it. And they go in there and the needle doesn't hurt at all. She looked, you could see nervousness in her eyes, but then the needle went in and it was almost like a fear and then a surprise that there wasn't any pain that she was expecting. Because the needle's so quick and it's so short, it just doesn't hurt. she felt a pain in the arm for about a day later, which is normal for everyone. And I had to say, you know, that's your body learning how to fight COVID. And she went, oh, okay, yeah, great. And she felt proud. She felt really proud of herself after she'd done it because she was doing what she could against it. But then when I got a positive result last week, right, and it was positive. I'm not making it up, Patty, just not
making it up
with you.
Just so he doesn't have to get a babysitter for a week. He's making
Mate,
his
the poor
wife
girl.
Missing.
The poor girl cried because she thought that her dad had COVID and that was the end of my, you know, that was the end of me. Because, oh, have you got it? And I tried to explain that, no, it's not the end of the world. I've had three vaccinations and your vaccination helps you fight against COVID and I'm fine and I don't feel sick at all. And she sort of, that realization takes a bit of educating, but, and she's happy now with where we are.
Well, I spoke to your daughter after getting the vaccination. She said to me, I wish I was Novak Djokovic's kid. That's all she said to me. So...
Stop.
Sorry. We haven't had a royal update for some time, Robert. This is about Prince Andrew. We're not going into the legal side of it, but allegedly Prince Andrew ordered his staff to arrange 5 teddy bears and soft toys in specific positions on his bed every night. It has been claimed. Wow. Now, it's according to The Sun, reputable newspaper. A sketch shows how a teddy holding a heart, other cuddly toys and cushions with daddies, ducks and prints on them should be arranged. Now, allegedly...
Imagine being that comfortable with your staff that you could tell them to organise your cuddly toys in just such a way.
The Duke 61 would scream and shout if they were not in order at Buckingham Palace, according to a former Royal Cop Paul Page. Now, a royal source who has seen the handwritten and laminated guide titled DOY Bed, Duke of York Bed, points for turn down and making the bed, said the list included two hippos and a black panther to be specially set out. Now, as a grown man, Robert.
I mean, come on. How old is he?
61. 61. Now, but throughout life, you know when your kids are little, they have a certain toy and they carry that toy with them all the time. It's like a protection blanket. Some have blankies. Our kids had blankies and I think Ben had a stuffed fish. I don't think he's got it on his bed now. Callum had a Toot Toot, which was Thomas the Tank Engine pillowcase.
Yes.
And we've kept Toot Toot, the pillowcase.
Right, okay.
So did you have...
Mum and Dad, whenever they travelled, they'd bring something back.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought back this bear, and it had glasses and it had an old crappy jumper. Anyway, I just called it Grandpa Bear. But they gave that to me when I was 18 years old.
And see, this is what we're working with. It's on you. It was, 18.
I had Grandpa Bear for years. Now, I didn't sleep with him and cuddle him, but he was there. And I saw Grandpa Bear all the time. I think he's still at Mum and Dad's now.
Oh, allegedly. I reckon he's... Would you scream and shout at Gwen, your wife, if she didn't put it in a particular order on your bed, you're wrecking?
Where is Grandpa Bear?
All right. The oldest person with a stuffed toy. That's what we're doing this morning. Do you still have them? Honestly, do you still have your stuffed toys from when you were a kid?
Yeah. If you're over 25, we are going to laugh at you, but just be honest.
Now,
just
oldest person with a stuffed toy wins the Taronga Family Zoo Pass, where you can see some real animals. So you can put your stuffed ones aside and get real animals. But honestly, be honest. Give us a call. Do you still have something, that stuffed toy from when you were a kid? You are now a grown adult, like Rob had little bears.
Or a doll.
Or a doll. You might have a bloody doll. Bloody
you know those little dolls? Look, let me show you there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Rob's holding a doll up to the camera because he's at home bludging.
No, it's a vegeta. It's Greta's.
Yeah.
She's 7.
Yeah.
But I was in the shop with her buying this thing. It's one of those animation dolls.
Yeah.
And there was a guy next to me who must have been in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
Just perusing the doll collection on the wall.
Mate.
And in all seriousness, buying one for himself.
Mate, that's a big thing. If you're into, what's that thing?
Anime?
No, there's another one. Bloke with the spiky hair. What's that called? You know, the bloke with his yellow...
Yeah, anime, Japanese anime.
No, there's another one. Pokemon and Goku.
Japanese. Pokemon, all that stuff, and the Marvel dolls. That's ridiculous.
But 1-3-3-5-3. I think we got Paul. G'day, Paulie. How are you, mate?
Not too bad, guys. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, like Prince Andrew, do you have a stuffed toy from when you were a kid that you still have?
I do, mate. My grandmother bought me a Snoopy dog the day I was born, and I still have it intact to this day.
A Snoopy dog?
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah. Mate, probably worth a fortune.
Oh, mate, it's worth more than money, mate. It's the only problem with it is apparently I tried to feed it peanut butter one day, so it's got a bit of a got stains around its mouth.
Yeah. and it was allergic to peanuts.
Yeah, it flew up like a balloon.
Okay. And Paul, how old are you, mate?
44.
Okay. 44.
Is Snoopy in bed, or do you just keep him on the shelf?
He's on top of the washing basket, actually.
Right. Okay. So you say hello to him regularly.
Prince Andrew, it's an exclusive club. Paulie, we're going to put you into the draw. You could be the oldest, and you could be off to Taronga Zoo. Thanks for the call, mate.
Yeah. G'day, Connie from Gwendolyn.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Yeah, good. Now, stuffed toys, do you still have one?
I've got my teddy.
Your teddy?
He was a panda. He's been attacked by the dog. He's missing half an eye, half an ear, sewn up, looked after. He's still there. He's 52.
The bear's 52.
Oh, 52.
Now,
oh, wow.
Connie.
And so where does he live at your place?
He used to live right beside the bed, but then he's moved into the cupboard, but I can still see him every day.
Okay, what's his name? The bear.
Oh, he didn't really have a real name, but I called him Magic for the grandkids because they, when they were hurt or something, I'd say Magic will fix you.
Okay. So we'll call him Magic. All right, Connie. So at 52-year-old bear, thank you very much for the call. We've got Billy Mack. G'day, Billy.
Oh, I don't believe it.
G'day, Pat. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. You stuff toys like Prince Andrew. Do you have them?
I have G.I. Joes. I have the Steve Austin $6 million man doll. I have Planet of the Apes dolls. I have SWAT dolls.
Yeah.
I have... hang on, is this official? Because I didn't say good morning, Respite Rob and Rona.
It is official. It is. Billy.
Hello, Billy. So I've got a couple of Mars stuff because the G.I. Joe dolls, I thought I was in the war and they've got no arms and legs because I blew them off. That might have been around Cracker Night. Could have, maybe won't confirm or deny that. Yeah, I've got, and mate, if Kathy knew how much they were worth, they'd be on eBay yesterday.
Mate, they are a fortune. They are worth a fortune.
Oh, the Steve Austin.
And I've got, mate, the Steve Austin doll with the rocket ship.
Oh,
the engine and all the bits that go with it.
I don't want to know what you do on a Saturday night, Billy.
Well, when I do it, I go... All
right, thanks, Billy.
Thank you very much.
I tell you what, Prince Andrew is not alone. We've got Linda from Blackwall. G'day, Linda.
Hey, Linda. Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, stuffed toys, which ones have you got?
I have Mickey Mouse. I got him for Christmas, and then the whole year he got ripped and I ate his nose off because I was a little person and I was teething.
Yeah.
So then if I handed Mickey Mouse to Santa, the next Christmas I got a new one.
Wow,
so that happened, and then Santa gave all three of them back to me when I turned 15.
Wow. So, and you still got them?
I've still got them, and in all states of disrepair, and I'm 58.
Oh, there you go. Okay, 58.
58
all right.
With three Mickey Mouse dolls.
All right. Yes.
All right.
All without noses.
All right. How do they smell? Terrible.
Oh, beautiful.
Anyway. All right, Linda. We've got Bronwyn from Wyong. G'day, Bronda. Bronwyn.
Bronnie.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, what have you got? Stuffed toys. Prince Andrew, not alone. What have you got?
I've got a Humpty B bear. I got him when I was 3 years of age. I'm 59 now, so he's 56 years old. And he still sits in my bedroom. And I took him to Christmas lunch the first day I got him at the Central Coast Leagues Club. They had to set up a table and put him on a chair with plates. because he had to have Christmas lunch with him.
Right. Okay. So you, can you give that number to Bronwyn? Rob, give that number to Bronwyn.
You were down the Leagues Club at 3 years old.
There are people that can help, Bronwyn. There are people that can help.
I think I'm beyond help.
And I think at 59 you win.
Yeah,
as well.
She does. Yeah. Bronwyn, you off to Taronga Zoo. We're giving you the pass, so well done. Yeah. Bring your pride to meet Taronga Zoo's pride with the arrival of 5 lion clubs.
And there's one pass for you and one for Humpty B.
Okay. Thank you, Bronwyn. November last year, we covered the story about Joe and Karen Wing.
Oh, yeah, with the car that went through the front of the house.
Yeah, and that was November last year. To find out what is the latest, we've got Joe Wing from Narara with us this morning. Good morning, Joe.
G'day, Joe.
Hey, Paddy. Hey, Rob. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Mate, from when we spoke last year, which was in November, and the car, if people miss the story, it was a Friday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Friday night, mate, when he come driving through. That's right.
A car came through.
Basically jumped the front hedge almost. I don't know how he missed it and then ended up in your lounge room.
Yeah, that's right. Bedroom, yeah. Straight through.
Okay, mate, so it's been boarded up since November. What is the latest?
Well, the builder come out the other day and measured up the windows and stuff, but he said 4 to 6 weeks before they can actually start because of COVID and wood supply and stuff like that.
Wow, so since November...
Did he say what he was doing in November and December not to be able to get to you, or has he just had a phone call?
Mate, he come out and measured up and that. They've been really good, these guys, but it's just like trying to get the materials and that sort of stuff.
So mate, there's no hold-up from the insurers now. It's basically an issue of saying, well, we can't get what we need to fix your house.
Yeah, that's the problem. The insurance company was really good. And the builder's really good, but they just can't get the pieces they need.
Well,
the windows are getting made, like I said, 4 to 6 weeks. So we'll sort of...
So I saw pictures that from November last year, they just boarded it up, all your windows and all that sort of stuff. So you've been living like that since November last year.
Yes, mate. And also the builders have been on holidays as well.
Yeah, of course. Mate, how hot is it? Because we've had some humid bloody days.
Yeah, mate, she's been real hot. They've got the fan going full tilt all the time.
You wouldn't be walking around in your undies, would you, all the time?
No. Mrs. might be.
Mate, that must be. Jeez, I tell you, that's a long wait, though, isn't it?
It is a bit, but what it is what it is, mate.
Yeah.
Other people got more summers than what we got.
Good on you, Joe. What an attitude to have. And mate, have you asked the insurance company if they can put some sort of cooling system in the house just while there isn't one?
Oh, that's a good idea. I never thought of that, mate. We drilled a couple of holes in the wood.
Hey, you get one of those little air conditioning portable units, and you'd be at least allowed to cool down one room. That sounds like you're living in, or it's not a great place to be.
In a sauna.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sauna. Losing a few kilos this way.
See, there's an upside to everything.
Always sees the positive, Joe.
All right. Hey, well, Joe, we wanted to see what the update was. So nothing since last November, basically.
Nothing's happened. No, that's what has happened. It's a stalemate. Like I said, the blokes can't get the materials and stuff. And when they do, it will start.
Yeah.
Apparently, geez, you've got a sunny outlook, Joe, for a guy who's really sort of up against it for the last 2 months. Good on you.
Yeah, you can't do much about it, Rob. That's what it is what it is, mate. Some people got worse problems.
Yeah, like me working with Rob Palmer. I agree with you there, Joe. Exactly.
You don't have to smell him every day.
Or like the poor people over Tonga there.
Yeah. Look at that, mate. Exactly. There's always someone worse off. Hey, well, Joe, mate. Well, listen. Thanks for joining us this morning. You take care. And as Rob said, it's good that you're still smiling, buddy.
Yeah. No worries, boys. All good.
Good on you, Joe.
This is the news that doesn't make the news. It should be in the news instead of the other news.
Yes. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us?
A crew. Oh, do you remember this?
Yeah. Roll it.
Some people say you know them can't believe. Jamaica, we have a bobsled team. We have the Wanderers.
I know one, Junior.
You, Sanka. The fastest of the fastest of Jamaican sprinters. Go to Olympics, fight for Jamaica.
Ah, from the movies Cool Runnings.
Oh, Cool Runnings. Back
John
in
Candy.
The, what, late 80s, was it, or something?
Yeah, I think it was from the 88 Olympics or something, and then the movie came out. Was it 1993 or something like that? Yeah, jeez, it was a funny movie.
Oh, John Candy was blessed.
He was brilliant. Oh, he was bloody brilliant. What are
they, Valet John Candy?
Yeah.
A crew of Jamaican bobsledders will be representing their country at this year's Winter Olympics Games in Beijing. The four-man bobsled team made it into the 28 places that there are available, qualified for the 2022 Games. First time Jamaica's had a four-man bobsled team in 24 years. Their last time one was in 1998 in Nagano. Now, what is it with Jamaica and bobsled? Are they doing this as a piss take?
No, but you know what? They also have an aerial skier. I'm absolutely positive. They've got a competitor, individual competitor, doing aerial skiing. I have not.
Don't you think it's hilarious that you live on a tropical island?
Yes, and you're in the Olympic Winter Olympics. Exactly, mate. Exactly.
It's got to be a joke. Anyway, well,
how many teams has Jamaica got? They've got more than one, I think.
I think they have a...
three or four teams they've put in.
They've also qualified the two-man and the women's bobsled events.
Yeah.
And it's the first time the country's ever sent three bobsled teams to an Olympics. Three. They've narrowly missed out on a chance to secure the two-woman bobsled event, but they could get in if another nation gives up their spot. Why would you give up your spot?
When you see them coming down that ice rack... And I'm going, holy geez, how fast they go.
How excited do you get? First time I've seen snow. I've been practicing on grass.
And then you hit something like ice. Yeah, hang on. And you're sliding down.
What is this?
Where's the brake?
So slippery.
There's no way would I get into that thing. Absolutely
Have you seen those ones that career down on their stomachs on a skateboard in the bobsled?
That is just like, why do they do this? what about this? Why did this man do this? A US man who accidentally sprayed expanding foam into his urethra in a bid to treat his impotence. Good morning, Rob. May never be able to use the hoo-ha again.
Expanding foam.
Yes. Don't do this at home. He put this straw with waterproofing spray into the urethra and accidentally deployed the foam. And then it hardened.
Accidentally. What did he hope was going to happen?
I don't know. You go, is it only in America that this happens? Oh. And then they showed pictures of how the foam hardened and then it had to be ripped out and they operated it and it was somewhere.
Oh, good God.
Somewhere. Where's the swear beep? And they had to operate between the and the to remove it. Holy jeez. That would have hurt, wouldn't it have? Don't you think?
Oh, he could have just gone for a strap-on.
All right, well, listen, Ronaldo said he wanted to have a chat. You better get this, mate.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Hello, Triple M.
Hello, it's Ronaldo, hairdresser to the stars, part-time Uber driver. Put in, Rob, you're fantastic. I'm fantastic. How are you, bloody buggers?
Going well, thanks, Ronaldo. Yourself?
Well, from the top to the bottom, from the back to the crack, from Blue Haven to Budgie Boy and Terrigal to Tascot, there is not a head I won't work on.
Yeah.
Providing you are COVID negative.
Right.
Show proof of vaccination.
Tick.
Use the check-in code. Yep. Stand on one leg singing Paradise by the dashboard light from Meatloaf whilst holding an echidna.
Well, geez, that is a few rules and regulations before you get your hair cut at the main tamer.
Oh, look, the echidna can be substituted with a frill neck lizard.
Right.
Terms and conditions apply.
Things have certainly changed at the salon in 2022, Ronaldo.
Well, one thing hasn't changed at the salon, and that's
that?
Sebastian,
right.
30-year apprentice part-time fisherman, because of dismal TAFE results.
All right.
Sebastian is still a third-year apprentice.
Right.
And as I said, a part-time fisherman. Like the Pommy cricket team, he must improve his game before he moves up the ranks to a fourth-year apprentice and eventually a fully-fledged main tamer.
Now, Sebastian, is his skylarking causing trouble?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
His skylarking... Sebastian's lack of attention to detail and his nightly drinking escapades will not be continuing in 2022 if he wants to remain as an employee at Ronaldo's Hair and Beauty Salon.
Right, but say if he does continue to skylark, has no attention to detail and gets on the drink every night, then what's going to happen?
He would be well qualified to work with both of you, I assume.
Okay,
right, I must go. Bye.
More so Rob Palmer than me. A bold plan to fast-track people into bar jobs without a responsible service of alcohol certificate is being examined by New South Wales Treasury. I think it's a bloody good idea, Robert. Because
put someone into a job without training.
But, mate, you do your RSA.
Hey, you want to build my house? Hey, you want to build my house? And you go, yeah, no, sure. Mate, have you got any training? No. Mate, I'll just learn on the job. That's what you're
RSA
saying.
Your RSA is done on online. You do all your learning on the job. You do all your learning on the job.
You can do a carpentry apprenticeship online. You still have to do some practical
experience.
Yeah,
and you'd learn on the job. But the thing is, you speak to anyone in hospitality, in the bar trade, they are crying out for workers. Because of COVID and other issues, they can't get workers. Is this a good thing to do by the government? We've got Craig Launday, and we're with Craig when we opened the Terrigal Beach House. Craig was there.
What a great day that was.
Yeah, Terrigal Beach House, Chitaway Bay, the Bayview and Woi Woi as well. Good morning, Craig.
Still going morning, well, Craig.
Morning, Paddy. Robert's still going well, mate.
Hey, mate, good idea by the government, bold plan to fast-track people into bar jobs without an RSA.
Yeah, look, I really think it is. We're doing it tough for staff. We've got no international students, no 457 and skilled visas. Haven't had them for 2 years, and we're fast approaching the second anniversary. We were doing it tough anyway pre-Omicron, and Omicron's just made it even harder because we're juggling. Like, I had Terrigal Beach House closed for 2 days in between Christmas and New Year's because I had an outbreak amongst the staff there and you know, half of them went down and I couldn't trade the joint. So it's good, but the key here is, boys, it's under supervision. So let you know, and it's basically a call out to any of the kids that have finished their HSC that have now gone to schoolies, and most of them, by the way, have got COVID up there. You know, they've come back, they're about to start university and they're looking for their first job. And this is a, you know, they don't know how to navigate it. With this in place, they can just rock up to their local pub or club, knock on the door and say, hey, listen, can I get a start? And we put them on straight away. So I think it's a really good initiative, and we've got a lot of staff around them that are trained and can keep an eye on them. And let's face it, they're going to start picking up glasses and dirty plates. They're not going to start making cocktails. That's, you know, learning on the job over the next few years. So I think it's a really good move from Treasurer Keane and the New South Wales government.
Yeah, look, so the responsible service of alcohol, though, Craig, how long does it take someone to do that online?
A day. It's right. And it's not that that's a barrier. It's that they don't know they need to do it. So and then they're nervous anyway, as you know, as a first job starter. So yeah. It just takes it out of the way, and then we can help them navigate. And that, you know, say they put in, for example, and we're still to see the details, but say they said, look, you've got 3 months where you can work supervised without it, and that takes a barrier for them not knowing they have to have it and takes it away, and they can knock on the door of the local pub and we can say, yep, you've got to start with us tomorrow. And by the way, we need to get you your RSA over the next 3 months.
Good
well,
idea.
If they do one hour of this...
Hang on, the flag's
no,
changed
the
decision
flag's
now.
Not blowing.
I called
I'm
him the flag,
saying,
Craig. He changes his point of view just like that. So go on.
Okay.
Rob,
yeah.
Go on, flag. Me, Rob.
Okay, Craig. So what you're saying, you can have someone, as long as they're supervised, I think that's fair
that's
enough.
That's what
as
I
long,
said
hey,
earlier
so,
on.
No, geez, would you let me speak?
Sorry.
For goodness sake. Okay. So, and what happens is they come in, and then for an hour a day, do they do an hour of day training until they've done the course over the period of the time they're there? Can they do that? Because to have them untrained, I don't think is wise. But if you're training them on the job day by day, and they after 2 weeks, they've got their full qualification.
Look, Rob, that's an option. As I say, the devil will be in the detail. But also, as I said earlier, they're not going to start, you know, in a position of authority. The kids that are starting with us tomorrow are going to start as glassies. You know, what we call barbacks, dish pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't need RSA for that.
That's right. They don't need it to start with. But what, you know, if the New South Wales government said in the first 3 months they've got to get it, that just takes away a barrier for the local Central Coast kid.
Yeah.
Now, if anyone knocked on the door at the Terrigal Beach House today, we'd give them a start because we're short staffed.
Yeah.
So it takes away that first job starter, the 18-year-old, it takes away something that is at the moment, they don't know they need to have it first. They're nervous anyway, getting their first job. And
Bang
it takes
on.
right out of play, they can just rock up and say, hey, listen, can I get a go?
That's it.
Here we go. He's changed his mind. He is an absolute flag. No,
they're not serving drinks. They're picking up tables. They're waiting glasses.
Yeah, earlier on this morning, you're saying, what a stupid idea, you numpty.
Yeah, because you told me that they'd be serving behind the bar.
I didn't know.
Paddy, I'd like to think that I've educated Rob through the chat.
Yeah, thank you very much. Tell you what, don't give Gerard a job at the pub. He'd scare off the patrons.
While we got you here, we looked at cocktails earlier on this morning. Do you still serve Blue Lagoons?
Oh, please.
Yes, we do.
If you want them.
Although, Rob, I will say, in your defence, I've just given you a rap, but in your defence, it is very hard. That day at the Terrigal Beach House, I couldn't get a word in with Paddy either.
Thank you so much, Craig. I tell you what, you are welcome to join us anytime. If we can shut Gerard up, we'll get something out of it.
Now, next time we catch up, I want a Blue Lagoon. What's your cocktail of choice, Craig?
Mate, I'm a big Capri Oscar fan.
Yeah, right. What do you go for, Robert?
There it is.
What's the one you go for?
Oh, look, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I don't mind. Oh, the slow.
Rob will take whatever the publican's shouting.
Yeah, he's as miserable as. Craig Lawndy from the Terrigal Beach House, Chitaway Bay and the Bayview and Boy. Thanks for joining us, mate. Thanks very much.
Good on you, boys. Have a good day.
Yeah,
good
cheers. One, now, what do you think? 133353, great idea. Bold plan to fast-track people into bar jobs without an RSA. What are your thoughts? 133353. Oh, geez, you were bark there, weren't you, compared to earlier on this morning,
no,
pal?
I am hard and fast. You don't put someone behind the bar serving drinks without a responsible
And as I said,
alcohol.
Mate, you learn on any job. You start on, like I say, with apprentices. You know when you start.
You can make any story suit your own little thing, can't you?
133353.
Have the last word.
133353. What do you think? Is it a good idea by the government?
Oh,
we want
we
to
go.
Know.
Yeah.
And at any stage, we could send you to the Mariners because they're playing Melbourne FC after their great win last night over Sydney. Yeah.
You reckon you should be pulling beers, do you? You reckon we should be pulling beers without any knowledge of,
I said,
of service of alcohol?
No,
you reckon you should be pulling beers
it was
and learn
about,
on the job?
Should you fast track without a responsible service of alcohol certificate? I think to get anyone back into a job and working, I think it's a good idea.
As a glassy, yes.
Dave, Manly Dave, good morning, mate.
Manly Dave.
Welcome back, boys.
Yeah.
Mr. Palmer, pull your bloody head in. You've got idea.
Yes,
you
I do.
You've got no idea, mate.
I worked in a bar.
No, me too. I was a bar useful in one of the busiest bloody places. That it was called Bryant's on the North Shore, Manly Vale.
Yeah.
We used to get groups like Skyhooks, the Angels. We had that many people come into that establishment, and we had that many bar usuals. We used to get trained by the seniors, and we'd get behind the bar. We'd not only pick up the glasses, clean the ashtrays, et cetera, clean the tables, et cetera.
Yeah.
We learned how to pour the beer.
And that was in 1945, Dave.
No! Hey, 1947, you muggerel.
The rules have changed, mate. No, the rules have changed.
Palmer doesn't want to get Australia working.
Please.
We need to get them back. We need to get these people back. They can learn from working on the job, mate.
Yeah.
You don't need that bloody certificate. You really don't.
Yeah, exactly.
If the guy who owns the bar doesn't care about the rules, he's going to teach you the wrong way to do it. If there's a registered way for everyone to learn about responsible service, then everyone gets responsible service training and we're happy. And you do it while you're on the job. Until you've got it, you just do glass pickup. That's the thing.
Mark Springfield, good morning, mate.
Marky.
Good morning. Good morning, boys. Welcome back.
Yeah, no worries. Good idea by the government. A bold plan to fast-track people into bar jobs without an RSA.
Mate, I'm with Rob. We worked behind bars for 15 years, and I had to do my course in person. But it opens up my ability to whether somebody's drunk, tipsy, or affected by alcohol. You give them a move-on order, and they say no, and they call the police, and the person's misjudged that person's state of intoxication. They need that certificate, and they need on-the-job training as well. It's law.
Yep.
It's political correctness today, and everything has to abide by the law. Mate, I can't come to your radio station and do a show without any training, can I?
Oh, Rob
correct.
Did.
Thank
Rob
you
did.
Very much. Mark, thanks. I was getting a flogging until you called.
Macca from Wyoming. Good morning, Macca.
Macca.
G'day, boys. G'day. Look, seriously, okay, I've been listening to some of the other comments people are making. the biggest thing we got to remember is, okay, now you blokes have done your time as apprentices. If you bring a bloke on and he's absolutely useless, with a hammer or a screwdriver or whatever, 4 years in TAFE and doing all that, he may get better. Okay, it's the same with pouring beer. I reckon you teach them under training, as it was stated, under a supervisor who is or has their RSA. My wife has her RSA. You allow them to learn under the guidance, and within that 3 months they must get it, but they must be in the bar with another person who has their RSA, who can keep an eye on them and say, hey, no, that person's had too much, or yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that way they actually learn on the job, because the gentleman before was saying about learning, he went to, actually had to go to a class to do it. My wife is the same. Now they're learning online. They're not actually learning. Anyone can read the questions and go, oh, yeah, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, exactly, yeah,
that
Palmer.
Don't matter. You know, there's a big difference, you know, between actually going in a class and just looking at
online drop, that absolutely, is it.
Well, Paddy Gerard's got RSI, but that's from something else.
Shane from Empire Bay. A bold plan to fast-track people into bar jobs without a responsible service of alcohol certificate is being examined to get people back into work and get the bars and pubs and clubs working again, getting people there. What are your thoughts, Shano?
I agree, Paddy, but I don't think you want an 18-year-old pimply face straight out of school serving in some of the bars around, you know, that I used to rock around in. But I think if they put an age limit to it, maybe 25 plus, maybe that's a way you could think about it, Rob.
Life experience would help.
Yeah, well, our alcohol does kill brain cells, mate, and you've seen some people get pretty sloppy over the years, I bet, too. But yeah,
jeez, I work with one.
Throw them in the deep end, but make sure they've got some life skills about them first.
All right, Shane, thanks very much, mate.
You know what, Paddy?
I know.
For friends of Triple M and family to bulk up the numbers.
Yeah.
Download the Listener app.
We're talking LISTNR.
Yep. And if you favourite breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
You are legends.
Well, yeah, that's very good of you. And you can listen anytime you like.